Near-Death Experience podcast, an ongoing exploration of spiritually transformative experiences, including NDEs and other phenomena, in order to elucidate the ineffable and better understand our spirituality. All episodes are available at ndepodcast.org. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and guests are not necessarily those of NDE Podcast, the NDERF, any sponsors, or for that matter, anyone else. In the end, the only opinion that really matters is yours.
Welcome to Near-Death Experience Podcast, the official source of audio accounts for the Near-Death Experience Research Foundation. I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Life in the Spirit World, What Near-Death Experiences May Teach About Life on the Other Side, and also composer of the album Home. Today we're going to share the experience of Suzanne Boom, who wrote a book, Beyond the Tunnel, A Death Experience. And what I'll be reading today is the sample from her book, the excerpt from her book that she shared on NDERF.org and gave NDERF.org permission to share this. So here we go. Here's Suzanne. She says, "Open wide," coaxed my dentist as he held the whirring drill perilously close to my mouth. It was meant to be a routine appointment, and at his urging, I obeyed. I began to meditate even before the nitrous oxide took effect. Meditation always has been a coping mechanism for me in the dentist chair. Sympathetic to my phobia, brought on in part by the insensitivity of his predecessors, this doctor took extreme care to ensure my comfort. He liked the room at sub-zero temperature, so I was tucked under a wool blanket, administered nitrous oxide, given a shot of Novocaine, and hooked up to radio earphones tuned to my favorite classical music. In today's procedure, he worked critically close to a nerve in preparation for a gold crown replacement. One thing was certain. Like most people, I detested going to the dentist. On this particular visit, fully aware of the work taking place, I was in excruciating pain. My doctor, sensitive to my plight, injected me with more Novocaine. I closed my eyes in meditation and invited the protective white light to wash over me. I then waited for the Novocaine and nitrous oxide to take effect. The meditation wasn't fully warding off the pain, so I inquired whether the usual procedure was being followed. He nodded, yes, as he reached for more Novocaine. I again invoked the light and felt myself drifting to the outer edges of consciousness. I began to float, but the feeling of suspension I normally experienced seemed amiss. Somehow today would be different. When I closed my eyes, the dark void did not crystallize into the multicolored kaleidoscope that usually formed in my inner eye. Instead, I found myself in a dark corridor or tunnel. After focusing my eyes, I detected rays of light emanating from a central source. Magnetic-like forces were pulling me toward this light. As I drew closer, I discerned that what I thought were rays of light were actually other beings like myself. We were being pulled toward the vibrant light at the end of the tunnel and held in a state of suspended animation. I felt a floating sensation as the light drew toward me. The closer I got, the better I felt. Buoyant, joyful, stress-free. I felt serene and totally unencumbered by the stresses of daily life. Nothing material existed anymore, to our great relief. I wanted this experience to go on forever. It was a better place by far than anywhere I'd ever been. One by one, all beings reached the end of the tunnel. and we were drawn through a doorway of light into a rainbow of colors. I felt as though suspended in the aurora borealis. Specks of glitter attached themselves to the beings ascending in front of me, and their forms were bathed in an eerie glow. As I passed through the rainbow, I picked up extra sparkle, only to discover that these glittering pulses of light were the souls of the pets we had loved during our lifetime. Their souls were in the rainbow, waiting for us as we passed through this gateway of light. After passing through this multicolored effervescence, I rose gently through the myriad layers of incandescent light that shimmered above me. Each shone brighter than the one before it, forming an array of diamond-like scintilla, and each had a different intensity, as well as subtle shadings of white. As I ascended, layer by layer, I felt caressed by a loving warmth and harmony, as my being was emptied of tension, fear, and stress. I was overwhelmed by feelings of compassion and understanding as the beauty of it all took my breath away. The splendor at each level brought tears to my eyes. So moved was I by the awesome beauty that enveloped and permeated every atom of my body. Never, ever in my life had I felt the kind of love and peace that surpasseth understanding. The dentist, misreading the cues, wrongly interpreted my tears as proof that I required more Novocaine to allay the pain. He could not know that my tears were manifestations of the ecstasy that suffused my entire being. I moved through each white layer in slow motion and came to rest at the top, where the central source of light was cradled. The strata of light moved through, formed a crescent-shaped nest for the ball of energy to rest in. I could stare directly into the sphere of light, yet not be blinded by its brilliance. I watched transfixed as the translucent ball continued to throb with a life of its own. With the rhythm of each pulsation, the color would shift and harmonize the many subtle hues of the light spectrum. Radiating softly, it beckoned me, invited me to bathe in its afterglow. The shimmer of light often seen at the crest of an ocean wave best describes it, beckoned to me, inviting me to bathe in its afterglow. The shimmer of light often seen at the crest of an ocean wave best describes it, and I longed to drive in and let the crystal clear water wash over me. An inner gate opened, allowing love to flood my senses and leaving me immersed in feelings of ineffable beauty and tranquility. I couldn't help feeling that I was part of an immense solar system, as though the infinite core of a newly formed star was drawing me closer and closer. Even this concept is too small to describe it. What I became part of was as vast as the universe itself, and the energy sparks that it released were our very souls. The thought that began to form was, we are God's galactic glitter. My initial reaction to what swirled around me was denial. The nitrous oxide had to be the reason for my hallucinations. My thoughts soon turned to questions of my own mortality. Was there life after life? Is life an endless continuum, or only a cradle-to-grave reality? And who actually runs the show? My thoughts continued in this vein, gradually becoming more probing. I felt a certain dichotomy. My body remained in the dental chair, while my mind, soul, and spirit were suspended in the last layer of light. I felt an irresistible urge to submerge myself in the ball of energy that hovered over me, yet concern for my surroundings continued to plague me. Was I really on the other side of life? Was I dead? unsettled by the twists and turns of my mind. My confused thoughts struggled to get back to the dental chair. It wasn't until the fifth shot of Novocaine that my doctor took notice of the trouble afoot. He frantically ripped away the nitrous oxide mask and ordered his assistant to increase my oxygen intake. I picked up on my doctor's thoughts telepathically. Trouble? Trouble? I'm not in any trouble. Or so I dazedly thought. I slipped through the barriers my thoughts were erecting, back into the light that enveloped me with its compassion, leaving me in a state of euphoria. I had no form, no eyes, yet I could feel and see. I was all mind. I vaguely discerned other souls at this level, but recognized no one in particular. We were energy thought forms, every soul a point of light. The others looked at me with a warmth and loving awareness. I heard them say, "We know that you know where you are going." Bewildered, I thought, how could I possibly know where I'm going when I'm not even sure where I am? They seemed happy to see me, and their unified radiance and loving reassurances were both supportive and overwhelming. All tension dissolved from my mind, with unending bliss taking its place. It cannot get better than this. And with that thought, I catapulted to the center of the sphere of light, catching my breath in wonderment and overcome by the beauty that surrounded me. I surrendered to a caring warmth, love, harmony, and understanding, such as I have never known. I seemed to possess infinite knowledge, and any question that crossed my mind provided its own answer. It would take me the rest of my life to ferret out the words that would do justice to the magnificence of this divine place. I also knew that the language of our earthly realm and its limitations could not begin to describe the pure ecstasy of what I saw and felt during my unearthly odyssey. All this aside, I still questioned where I found myself until he spoke again. A voice resonated from the core of light as the light's pulsations again shifted rhythmically, and pastel hues of pink, lavender, and blue danced before my eyes. The light's radiance was comparable to the facets of 10 trillion diamonds, all sparkling at once. The voice, now as close to me as my own breath, whispered, "It's all right. You are here with me." My thoughts exploded with a shocking realization that God was talking to me. He reassured me. "Yes, I am the light, and you are with me. You are safe. You are here with me." It emphasized how much each of us is loved and valued by the divine. I let go and willingly surrendered to infinite wisdom and essential truth. The presence then lovingly highlighted certain events from my life worthy of review, and speaking with authority, instructed me to write down and share these vignettes from your life. After conversing with beings of light, the Infinite Spirit gave me insight into life's most profound questions and provided me with an understanding of the missing ingredient that will enrich your life this side of the tunnel. He then proceeded to instruct me to write this book. I listened intently, not wanting to miss a word. "Finish your projects. Write down this experience. You can count on my help. Write a book about what you have just been through, exactly as it happened. You can do it. Weave in your life experiences and share the lessons you've learned. Tell them about the beauty, peace, and glory of graduation. Close your book with the missing ingredient." Pausing, he added, That should have the making of a bestseller. He exulted as if he was to author the book himself. In an instant, he gave me the whole outline of the book in telepathic transference. Pretty amazing, I thought. He seemed quite pleased with his work, and piqued my curiosity further with references to graduation and the missing ingredient. I don't know how to write a book, I pleaded. I've never written before. I felt a knot form in my solar plexus. He had to be mistaken. I will guide you. Ignoring my misgivings, he went on, if you decide to return, I would like you to mentor others. Teach them what you have learned through your life lessons. Start by assisting people to work at what they love. The shimmering silver and gold light that enveloped us in the celestial place began to shift in color and took on a red pulsating hue. There was a long pause before God's next utterance. There are those among you who say they are doing what they love, then spend a lifetime reviling what they do. He sounded disappointed, and I could feel his pain. His tone changed, and the pulsing red light slowed and was again transmuted into an energy field of gold and silver. After a long silence, he continued, help people choose what they love to do and then tell them to do it with love. I was relieved that all he wanted me to do was share my lessons. That was something I could do. I carefully pondered the decision confronting me. Now, where was I when I died? Ah, yes, I was in a dentist's chair. I was reminded of my long friendship with my dentist when I suddenly blurted out, oh no, this man will be devastated if I were to die in his chair. On that altruistic thought, my choice was made, and everything went black. I was no longer in God's presence. Without further ado, I found myself floating near the ceiling in the dentist's office. A gray cloud cloaked the room below me. Looking down from my lofty position, I blinked in disbelief. The hazy vapor cleared slightly, and peering through it, I saw my dentist bending over me with great alarm. There was overwhelming anxiety in his expression and great concern in his voice. He couldn't find a pulse and decided I was in deep trouble. The doctor shouted to the nurse to increase my flow of oxygen as he bent over me in panic, calling my name. Suzanne! Suzanne! He repeated with great urgency in his voice. As he called out my name, everything went black for the second time. Leaving my body was easy compared to re-entering it. My heart seemed to clamp up as I struggled to find its rhythm. The first beat of my heart felt like a sledgehammer hitting my chest. The pain of re-entering my body was excruciating. Fear engulfed me. God promised me I could return, I reassured myself. There were things he wanted me to do. The darkness dissipated. Suzanne! Suzanne, are you there? My eyes opened. I was back. I was back in my body, looking up at my bewildered dentist, tears streaming down my face as I stammered, I'm okay, I'm okay. He thought I was in intense pain because the Novocaine hadn't worked. He had no way of knowing that my tears were tears of joy at being alive and getting a second chance. I wasn't ready to tell him where my moments in absentia had taken me. I didn't think he would believe me. Would anyone believe me? I spent the rest of the day lying on the couch in his back office. I refused to allow him to send me to the hospital. I knew my condition was only temporary. I knew I would be just fine and just needed some time to recuperate from the jolt of my re-entry. I used the time to reflect on the incredible journey I had just taken. I caught myself smiling as I thought of the often used expression, this really is the first day of the rest of my life. And that is the end of Suzanne's experience. Suzanne had her experience on July 13th, 1993. And I love this experience because she tries so hard and does a beautiful job of expressing both the emotions and the visuals of what she's experiencing. And I don't think it's necessary for me to go back over the details of those visuals, the glitter and the light and so forth. She does a beautiful job of that herself. What I did find very interesting, and maybe this is because it's a particularly interesting thing to me personally, is the conversation that she has with the light, who she calls God, and the instructions she receives from him to write this book. And she talks about how she is to write about all of it, about her life, but also about her experience on the other side, about the beauty, peace, and glory of graduation. She puts that word in quotation marks, obviously referring to her graduation from life, so that that she's to write this in order for people to realize how glorious death really is, that it's a graduation from life. And I love pausing, she says, he added, that should have the making of a bestseller. And I can sense a touch of humor in the sense of, that connectedness of humor and so forth, just saying that should be a bestseller for you, kind of thing. And then going on, he talks, he basically encourages her to write the book, which totally intimidates her, the idea of writing a book. And then she's, encouraged and told, I'll help you, and so forth. But then he goes on and says, there are those among you who say they are doing what they love, then they spend their lifetime reviling what they do. Isn't that interesting? Now, I have to ask myself, do they say they're doing what they love and not really doing what they love, but because they're doing something they don't love? Or are they doing what they love, but then just complaining about it? Either way, there's clearly a mishap there on the part of those of us who are doing things that we, not living the life that we think we should, or perhaps we're living life that we think we should, and then we're complaining about it and talking about it as if we don't love it. And that's sad. But it's interesting what he says about this. He says, he encourages her to mentor others and then says to her, teach them what you have learned through your life lessons. Start by assisting people to work at what they love. There again is that message of do what you love. Do what you love. And then she goes on and says, his tone changed and the pulsating red light slowed and was again transmuted into an energy field of gold and silver. After a long silence, he continued, help people choose what they love to do, and then tell them, and she puts this in all caps, to do it with love. And I think that's a very powerful message. Choose what they love to do, and then do it with love. And I can't think of a better message to leave than that right there. To do what you love, and then do it with love. So with that, if you would like to support the podcast, you can do so by either purchasing my book, Life in the Spirit World, especially the audiobook. You can also go to patreon.com/NDEpodcast to become an ongoing monthly contributor. You can also purchase my album, Home, which there's a link to it with the book on neardeathexperiencepodcast.org, and you click on the store button, and you'll see links to purchase both of those. On the album, I've got it set up in an interesting way. I don't know if I'll keep it this way forever or not, but so far it's worked out well. It's a pay what you want setup, so you know, you pay what you would like to, so you can, you know, just pay what you can afford. You know, if you can only afford a little bit, that's okay, pay that. If you can't afford anything, you can put zero and purchase it for zero. I think there's a thing, you know, that zero is fine and 50 cents is fine, but anything between 50 cents and zero and 50 cents is kind of quirky, because it probably covers fees, and therefore if you do less than 50 cents but more than zero, then it costs more than, you know, to process the transaction. It basically, you can pay zero or you can pay 50 cents or more is what it comes down to. And if you would like to just make a personal donation to the show, this is one of the ways to do that. Let's just say that you wanted to donate $50. If you just pay $50 for the album, then that will come to me, and I will know that that's what it's from, because $50 is a lot for an album. So anyway, thank you, you guys, for everything that you do. Thank you for being here. It means a lot to me and John. So thank you so much, all of you, for listening. Thank you.